Before I get started, I just wanted to just say that the whole thing with Veterans Day and honoring our fallen heroes, honoring our country, and sang a lot of songs that way, and really, this is our nation is its people. And God is into people.
Amen.
And so we can't really separate and just say, well, that's something that's supposed to be outside of church. People are what the Lord is, who the Lord is interested in, isn't he?
Yes.
He created us in his image. And I think it's important that we realize that the nation is its people, and we're not raising up the United States as above God or equal to God. We're saying that we want to honor what God has done for creating the nation that he has.
Amen.
And it's because we've been founded on godly principles that has allowed our nation to be as fortunate as we are. And I tell this to every one of my history classes from the time I first started teaching. We live in the greatest country in the world. And we have our problems, yes. And this is a stopgap, so to speak. Our citizenship is in heaven, but right now we live in a country that is formed by the people of it, and it's a great thing to be able to live in a country where we have the freedoms that we do, that we can worship the Lord as we can, and we should never take that for granted. And we should we've done it today. Thank God for the people that have stood in the gap for us, that have given their lives, so that we can have the freedom that God wants us to have as human beings. Right? And so, really, all of this and everything that we honor the people that have died for our country and for our country itself, it really is based on the godly principles that have been laid down from our very founding. And we should never be ashamed of that. We should never be convinced otherwise of that. Because there is a big movement to denigrate our nation, our founding fathers, the principles upon which we were established, and we don't want that to happen. Because God was in it from the beginning.
That's right.
So, just wanted to say that before we get started on something else, which kind of goes with the message today, because we have all these things that are going on to change our minds about our history, to change our minds really about what life is all about. There's lots of negativity in this life, and it's going worse and worse. So the message today is about staying positive in a negative world. That's what the Lord seems to be speaking to me to speak to you. So
yeah.
What's that?
I'd like to ask.
Yeah. You know, if we look at what the Bible says, we know that the world is really moving more and more toward the very thing that is going to cause God to step back into this world in a very physical way. We call it his second coming, right? he's going to come back because man is getting to the place where he's going to ruin and destroy this world that God created. And God is long-suffering and he knows when it's going to be the right time to step in there again. He gave us his son the first time. We have the church that was born. The church is supposed to be the representation. We're supposed to be little Christs, right? We're supposed to live as Jesus lived. We're supposed to be his representatives, his ambassadors on the earth. And we can see that over the centuries, over the years, that things aren't quite the same as it was when it began. Have you noticed that? You know how you can be so fervent, and then as time goes by, you get watered down. And then things that weren't okay become okay for you. Well, everybody, this is how everybody else thinks. This is what everybody else does. So, you know, what's the big deal? You know, why walk more holy than other people? Some of those people are going to heaven. Why do I need to walk holy? Right? No? So, you know, things are getting bad because of individuals' choices.
Yes.
Those consequences of choices. And so individually, we see that things are going in a bad way because of all of our different choices that haven't been the good choices. Right? We have an enemy of our souls that speak to us, that want to divide us from one another, want to get us to slide into bad attitudes about different people, different situations. We're not thinking like God wants us to think. We're heading down like that. So how can we possibly stay positive in this negative kind of world? And it is. But we need to see that there's a lot of positive things that are in the world. Isn't there?
Yes, there is.
Because the enemy will even try to speak to Christians and only get us focused on the negative things. The negative things about the people that are in our life, the negative things about the church, the negative things about this or that or work or whatever you want to talk about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And get us to focus on that. It's so easy because of who we are as people to focus on the negative and focus on the poor me and why is this happening. And it's like, I was trying to think about of a word picture, and the only thing that came to me is negativism, looking at the dark side of life, and we do have to see that, we have to know it's there. I mean, we can't get away from it, can we? But that negative thing, and that's the word that came to me, was this thing about stick, you know? It's like flypaper. You take the thing off the flypaper, and if it happens to touch, you pull it off, and you pull it off, and now it's stuck on the other hand. Right? You put it down on the ground, and you put your foot on it, and you pull your other hand out, and now it's stuck on the bottom of your feet. You know, it seems like once it gets on you, it sticks. It finds a way that if you get it off one part of how you think, it gets stuck on something else, doesn't it? And I think that every single person in here, we have areas of our life that are stuck with negative kind of attitude. We need to see and we need to recognize that there is evil in the world, that things, we can't be naive and say, oh, well, everything's just going to be fine. when there's things that are going on, you know, like the church shooting that happened this past week, right? There's lots of bad things go on in this world, and we can't pretend that they're not happening, and we can't just not be prepared for the bad things that are coming. God shows us things so that we can be prepared for stuff. He doesn't show us things. He doesn't remind us about things for us just to go, oh, okay, God, will you take care of that? When God is going to, you know, there's
a scripture I really like. I'm going off track here a second. Let me see if I think I might have even. Wait a minute. I'm going to find this. Because I think I did write it down somewhere. Oh, where is it? I don't like this when I have to slow down like this. Alright, well, I'll just... I know. Here it is. So, Proverbs 21... Now listen to this, because I think this is really an interesting here. Proverbs 21, and it's verse 31. It says this: the horse is prepared against the day of battle. Right? The horse. In other words, does the horse prepare himself?
No.
Who's preparing the horse?
The rider.
Right. It's rider. The person that is going to get on that horse. They're going to, you know, put the blanket on. They're going to put the saddle on top, and they're going to get the reins and the bit in the mouth and the reins, and make sure that horse is all ready to go. And that person has a responsibility. He's not waiting around for God to put everything on top of that horse. Is he? But notice here, this is what I want to get to. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord.
Preach it, brother.
You see that?
Yes.
Our reliance isn't only on preparation, is it?
No.
Our reliance is on the Lord.
Amen.
But because our reliance is on the Lord, that doesn't tell us, doesn't instruct us not to be prepared for the things that are out ahead of us. God wants us to be ready, but God wants us relying on Him. And there's a big difference there. There's a whole bunch of preppers out there that are relying on their being prepared. And then on the other side of the fence are a lot of people saying, well, God's just going to protect me, and not even be concerned about all the bad things that are going on in the world, or that it will ever touch them. Do you think those people in Texas thought that would ever happen in their town, in their church? Oh no, that'll never happen here. And we have that in our brains. Should that say, you know, not that we're supposed to be scared, but don't you think that we should be aware?
Mm-hmm. The Lord will make you
aware.
Absolutely.
I want us to be thoughtful about this stuff.
Okay. Does this not sound too positive? So far, not that's a positive.
Same old, same old.
So.
Same old. I'm going to take this. No, I don't want to. No, I won't take that one either. Is that all right? I'm going to sit down.
Also, you're preparing us because you're not giving us the fluff.
I'm not what?
You're preparing us because you're not giving us the fluff.
No, I'm not going to give you the
fluff.
So, did I do something with that?
It's in here, right?
Somewhere.
Shake it upside down.
Okay, here we go. So I was writing down these things and thinking, well, what are the things that could get the stickiness off of us? To get us so that, what is it that gets us not to be negative? Because I think that we all succumb to that, don't we? You know, we only think of the bad things that are going on. And we start to focus on that, and then the enemy has us in a bad place of all people. Aren't we so blessed? We have Jesus. We have eternal life. We have the fullness of Him who fills all in all in us. We're to have joy and that total. And yet I don't think that we all experience it the way we need to. Do we?
No. Not as a whole.
We have our glimpses of it. But boy, oh boy. We above any, I think, people on the whole earth, living in America, you know, having the opportunity, having the freedom to worship as we please, to come to really know Jesus in a much more total way, much more freely than in other places, you know, what is it? How do we stay positive? Now, I got my little list. I want to see what you have. All right.
I got one. Whenever I start to get back down, I go to hope.
Well, that's my first one.
I just hold on to all His promises.
Yeah.
The hope in them, and that brings me right back out of it.
Yeah, you hear that? When the negative starts hit, the first thing, obviously, is you've got to recognize that your head is in that place. If you don't even realize it, and lots of times that happens to us, doesn't it? We don't even realize that these thoughts are just taking us and then taking us deeper and taking us deeper into the place we don't really want to go to or even should be going to because we have Christ. Right?
You know, it's so funny, as Sylvie and I were texting back and forth last night, we were talking about being cynical.
About being cynical.
And a lot of it has to do with our past.
Yes.
Because you let it go, but then when you see things happening, it automatically, it's kind of like PTSD.
Triggers.
You know, it brings it right back there, and you're going, well, this is terrible. Why am I thinking about that?
Yep.
And I was just thinking, you know, our hope, well, and our faith, a lot of times we get to a point, but then if we look back to where God has already rescued us or brought us from, that gives us new hope.
Yes.
To hang on and say, okay, God, what are you going to do with this situation? Help me.
Yes.
And then you cry out.
Isn't it funny how the enemy, when we start to say, well, I can remember that God got me out of this. He helped me there. And then the enemy says, yeah, well, that was then. How are you going to get out of this? How are you going to conquer that? You know, how's that going to work out? It's different than this other thing, isn't it? And so we do. We have to rely on what we've seen. And that there's evidence there that God really is in our life working. See, we want it to happen that fast.
Yeah, I was thinking about in learning in science in high school, and I don't know what the law is, but for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Yeah.
And I think we need to do that in our thoughts. When there's a negative thought, to come back at it with an equal and opposite reaction. And get rid of that negativity. It's easier said than done, obviously, but at least if you're thinking about doing that, you're at least coming against that that negativity.
Yeah. It is a push, isn't it? You have, there's an energy that's required to turn thoughts around. You know, as much as it is to push a heavy weight out of the way, in lots of ways, thoughts are way heavier than those weights that you got to move around. Mm-hmm. It takes a tremendous amount of spiritual, cranial energy for that to happen, because it's not going to let go of you.
No.
It's sticky. It's sticky. It's not just going to leave you. And I don't know what's coming down the pike here, but the Lord has made this very, has impressed me very much about this. Watch ourselves here in the next little bit. You know, that enemy is going to push, and he's not just going to leave because you want him to leave. He has ways around. He knows spiritual laws that we're just starting to get in touch with. And he finds a way to leave and then come back at you. Doesn't he? And you can say in the name of Jesus, but if you're not moving in his spirit when you're saying that, you can say his name all you want. If you're not moving in his spirit, the enemy doesn't have to listen to you. Unless you're moving in Christ. And moving in, I want to make this real clear. Moving in Christ doesn't mean just saying Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, leave me. Well, what if you don't really believe that in your heart?
It ain't going to happen.
Don't think that God's going to listen to you if you don't really believe that he's going to answer you. That's one thing. So that's really important, isn't it? To be in Christ and to take authority in Christ over thoughts, you have to believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of you who are diligently seeking him. Are we diligently seeking him, or do we just go to him when we need some help? Are we diligently seeking him? You see, we only want part of that. We just want the good part that's going to let us get our benefit so that we can go on with our life just the way it's been. That's kind of hard to take. You know? I don't know. I mean, I get twisted up hearing my words come out, and then I'm going, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to live. I've got to be listening to this. Lest I preach to others, I find myself disqualified. Don't think that, just because you say something to somebody else, that you're off the hook. You know, you're on the hook even more.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to bring to attention that in the Old Testament, Israel did the same thing.
Yes.
Why haven't we gotten it then?
I don't know.
How many thousands of years ago? How many hundreds or how many generations? And we still haven't got it.
No.
But there is one difference.
Yeah.
We have Jesus in us.
Yes.
That gives us that strength. If we try to rely on any of our doing, it's not gonna hold up.
Right.
It all has to be the will of God. Our will has to be God's will. And that is an everyday changing perspective in yourself with Christ. I mean, if you're reading the Bible once a week, once a month, how are you really going to get to know God? I mean, this is an everyday living experience. God is alive. He is here amongst us right now.
Yes.
But so is the enemy.
Yes.
Because if you think about it, distraction doesn't come from God.
No.
Distraction comes from Satan.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I wanted to touch on this, what Dan said. So, because it was the first in thing that I had written down as far as what we need to remain positive in a negative world, and that is hope. That is hope. Hope in his promises. Hope in who he is. Hope knowing that he has overcome the world. that there is a bright, wonderful future out there ahead, even though we might be in a place of either suffering or distraction or whatever's going on right now. We're gonna get, we can believe that we're gonna get through that, and He's there to help us, right? It says in you don't have to turn to it. It's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. It says this. This hope we have as an anchor of our soul. Amen. Have it knowing that God is there. Even when we don't feel Him. Mm-hmm. Even though He seems so far away. You know what? Knowing. Now, I wrote down what hope means. Hope means that hope is the confidence in something you fully expect to happen. It's the confidence in fully in something that you fully expect to happen. So if we fully expect it to happen, we can have confidence in that. It will come in its time, and we have to trust God in the process of that, right? That takes some of that negativity away, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think it does. Yeah.
I just want to point out a quick coincidence. Diane asked me to play a song this week. It was called Soul Anchor.
Oh.
We're going to play it next week because of all the events that happened. But I want you to be aware that Diane called me, who never calls me for any songs, and wanted to play that song. And then you're saying about this whole thing about anchor of the soul and stuff. So there is, again, just another confirmation of the importance of what's being said right now.
Amen.
Yes, Kelly.
To answer his 2,000-year question, the Bible can either be looked at as a history book or a Christian owner's manual. And if you don't read it, the old saying goes, if you don't take care of your history, you're bound to repeat it.
Yes.
Or, you know, if you don't learn from it, you're bound to repeat it. And that's exactly what's going on. People don't sit there and look at it as a history book or an owner's manual. And that's why we always repeat what we're doing, you know. And then, on another little note, there's a little meme that came across my screen yesterday, and it says, a generation that is taught to hate their country, well, they'll refuse to defend it. And I mean, it can be, you know, and look, we're in that generation now to where, I mean, everything's being torn up and twisted upside down and everything like that. And what's happening there is they're not learning the history.
No.
And now, I mean, that generation is going to doom us all, but I mean, no big deal.
Now, can we take that situation? All right, now, looking at it, staying positive in that negative situation, how do we look at that? Do we say we are just doomed, or do we take it? And with hope, knowing that God wants to minister to people. I went to a retirement party for a person that has been coaching in Gorham for the past 36 years, and he's retired now. And they had this party for him last night at the TNC, and I was invited, and so we go. I went and. The positive things that I experienced from the things I heard about this man, who I ended up, I had coached him originally, you know, and I was seeing all these positive things. I said, you know what? There's hope in the world. There is hope in this world. You know? As negative, as bad as it looks, there's good in people that haven't come to Christ yet.
Mm-hmm. Which brings me to Jen the other day. What was that?
You were saying something, and I kept thinking to myself, the mustard seed. And I know I should have put it on the rest of the message that we were talking back and forth on your pulse. And it's the mustard seed. You know, the hope, the mustard seed.
Yeah. It's there. It's still there. Yeah. You know, we've got to realize it's still there. And I think we have to look at it on it in an individual kind of way. You know, there's hope in any person. Isn't there?
Yeah.
Most people.
Yeah.
Some people are sold out. I mean, they are, but they're sold out to the end. But the great majority of people have that glimmer of hope that they can come to know the Lord, that they can be His child and live forever with Him and have their life changed so that it isn't dark but it's light. You know, I mean, that's there, and it's really great. You know, God works in all of these things. I was really impressed, and I hope that I don't put Steve on the spot here, but Steve,
Steve.
Yeah,
it was misspelled.
I couldn't get the E on.
All right, so Steph, would you tell people about how God intervened in a text messaging thing?
I was going to stay quiet today.
Well, you're not. I'm not going to let you.
The other day I was texting, I text.
As a 60-something-year-old, you're still texting. That's
right. I was texting a young friend of mine who's a strong Christian man. And it was a thing about the harvest. The harvest is ready, and God's going to put people in your path, and He's going to prepare you to basically give hope to people. And so I sent it to this guy, and he responded. And then I had forgotten one little thing. It said something about, and his ingathering is beginning, or something like that. So I wanted to send that back to him, so I sent it to him. But at the same moment that I sent it to him, I got a text from a hay customer who was going to pick up hay yesterday. And so I didn't know that until I looked at the text that she had sent to me, and it was a question mark. So I went to the one above it, and it was, I sent that to her. So I said, actually, I sent that to somebody else. Sorry. She said, well, now that you mention it, this world is so hopeless, and people are reaching for something, and maybe it has something to do with the Lord or whatever. And so I'm like, that's a kind of an interesting little opening. So I texted back to her something about the Lord and hope through Him and all that stuff. And she texted back and she said, you know, I have been like away from the Lord for many years, and maybe it's time I get my act together and get back to the Lord. So I said, the punctuation's good, you know, capital letters, whatever, because I have to do it all perfect, right? But, so I said, and I don't know exactly where she knows, you know, like I'm coming from, but I said, well, as a born-again believer, I believe that hope comes through Jesus, and you need to find a church somewhere that has, that preaches the truth, and I mentioned this church. I said, there are other ones out there, but this is where we go. And she said, well, I may see you. Mm-hmm. But that was supposed to go to another person, and the same thing. I mean, I've had that happen a few times. What am I getting after that? So that was.
God can handle technology.
Yeah.
God
knows how
to
text.
Correctly.
Can I add something?
Yeah.
Because. Someone mentioned here, a couple people mentioned about people like Brian not reading the Bible. And today's devotion talked about, and again, stats, you can make them do whatever they want, but this person estimated that 70% of born-again Christian people do not read their Bibles
much of a
consistent.
Maybe on Sunday. And 30% do. And like Kelly was saying, this is a guideline of the old man. So I thought that was kind of interesting too. But if we don't show that hope out there, where are they going to find it?
And it isn't just going to come, you know. You have to be into this,
right.
You know. That's important. It isn't just for the pastor to read and then
right.
The pastor disseminate information. What really does happen, and it is happening here in our services, is that when the person that's bringing a message says something, it's resonating because either you've read that or you went through an experience that particular week or day that connects and you go, yeah. And then you can share. And then you know that God is working in your life. If you're not reading your Bible, it makes it a little harder for you to recognize that God is working. He's working in your life, but you're not recognizing it. You know, because this is the groundwork, isn't it, for our lives?
Started lead.
You know, whether we realize it or not, it is. You know. Okay.
It's been said that in America, we treated our Bibles the way we treat our cell phones. We'd be a different nation.
Yeah.
Boy, that's not true.
Yeah. And what we need, what's you know, the theme of this is, well, how do we stay? How do we stay positive? Is, well, if we don't know His promises, we're not putting our hope in anything because we're not reminded. Don't you feel like you need to be reminded a lot?
Yes.
I can't believe this morning I went to do something and told myself, well, I got to do this, and 3 seconds went by. Don't come looking around. And I completely forgot within 3 seconds what I had just said I was going to do. You know? We need reminding, and it's okay. You know? And how does that get done? We get reminded because we stay in this. So this really is important for every single person here. Is it really that important?
Yes, it is.
To say, I don't need to get into this today. I want to watch Game of Thrones on TV. Why do I need that? I get the word enough on Sunday. I'm going to do my thing. Yeah, do you see? I hope that this shakes you a little bit. Because I think God wants us to be shaken that way.
Yes.
You know, come on. We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about life, not more abundant, and that God has it for us, and He's given it to us here, so that when we read that word, He can make it alive to us in a greater way. He's going to give us the strength, the wisdom, the perseverance, the purpose that we need to live this life by, and we're ho-humming it. It's more important to find out what Jon Snow did than it. Anybody know who Jon Snow is?
You know nothing.
John you know nothing, Jon Snow. Yeah. Well, a few people know Game of Thrones, but I'm just using that as an example.
Malcolm, I think it's important for me, make sure you get a Bible that you understand.
That you understand!
So for me, I wasn't reading the Bible much until I got my Amplified version. For me, it clicked. So, you know, if you open up King James, sometimes you're like, blah, 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 blah. You know? But for me, I open this up and I'm like, oh, and then she gets side notes, you know?
Yeah.
So.
That really is important. You know, people say, well, which version is the best version? Well, I particularly like the King James,
right,
because I think it's the best in terms of study, right? Of study. But I'm a nerd, you know. But I really like other versions too to read. You know, but The best version is the one that you will read.
Yeah.
You know, it's important that you read your Bible. So get one that you feel comfortable with, you know?
Are you comfortable, Mom?
I am very, that's the problem, I'm too comfortable. Okay. All right. So we've only just kind of touched on hope, but hope is really important, and hope is going to come because you know you can go to the promises of God. You can be reminded of the kind of person the Lord is, and that you can rely on Him, you can trust in Him, you can lift up your eyes unto the mountains from whom our help comes. Our help comes from the Lord. Right? Hallelujah. I want us to go to... Are you in Hebrews still?
Yeah.
I was in Hebrews 6, so I'm just going to jump up to Hebrews chapter 10 a minute. Here's something else. Go ahead.
Yeah, just one thought on hope. A lot of times when we say we hope so, it's not in the same attitude as the definition. Because, like, I hope so, but I really don't think so.
Right.
But I'm hoping to say, no, I believe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's not a wish.
It's not a wish. You believe it. And here's the thing. You know, there's a scripture that also says in Proverbs, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Right? When we don't see what we're expecting to see, that we have confidence in seeing, if it gets deferred, if it gets put off, our heart can be sick about that. And that's a danger point, isn't it? Because then doubt comes in. And then everything that goes with doubt comes in. A lack of faith. A lack of believing. Right?
Bitterness.
So, what's that? Bitterness. All kinds of negative emotions come in. This is why it's so important to be a person of hope. You know? You're confident in what you're expecting. Okay? Alright, so now Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. And 36. The author of Hebrews says this: don't cast your confidence away, which has a great recompense of reward. Now, when it's talking about confidence, see, hope is the confidence in that thing, isn't it? That you're looking for. So don't throw your confidence away. Don't give up on your hope. Look what it says. For you have need of patience. So when we are battling in a negative kind of world, if we're going to remain positive, one thing that we have to do is have patience. Patience. Now, this is real, simple, basic gospel, but every single person in here has need of it. I have need of it. I want things done in my time. Right? Julie, did you want to say something? Something that...
Side note, on those two verses you just mentioned.
Okay.
Hebrews 10, 35, 36 speaks of our need for patience. Who do we need to be patient with? We need to be patient with ourselves, because sometimes we're slow in learning. We need to be patient with God, because He does not always move in our time.
That's right.
And we need to be patient with other people. Ask God to help you and He will.
Yes. It's great to have that head knowledge, isn't it? But then when we are called to actually walk in that, that's a different story. But this is, we're being reminded of the Lord. Because you know what? If we don't have patience, then we will get drawn, stuck on that the negative kinds of things, our negative attitude toward God. Why does God help all these other people and he doesn't seem to help me? Right? That negative kind of thing. That is coming from the pit of hell. You realize that.
Isn't there just, there is a part where God had created the natural law of positive and negative. So, I mean, as a nation, do we learn if we are all rich and don't have need in anything?
Yeah.
I believe the Word of God says, if you suffer for my name's sake, then you are in the will of God.
Yes.
So there is a natural law of God for that negative impact in a human, even mostly in his children. Because this whole Bible is talking to his children. Yeah. It's not talking to the ungodly, even though, you know, that's our job to show them that. He constantly addresses the saved here.
Yes. The whole thing about the negative in this life is really to bring us to a positive place, right? The contrast, to realize that there are consequences for going down that wrong way of thinking or acting, right? So those things are going to be there. Like was said at the beginning, more and more people are just giving in to just going whatever way they please to, not according to his word, but according to their own feelings about things, right? And because we're going in that kind of, the world is going in that kind of direction, there's a pull on us, a stickiness, to get us to feel like, well, that's just the way it is, look at everybody else. Last night I was at that retirement thing, and then on the other side of things, I think the TNC must have made $500,000 on booze last night. Oh man, it was flowing like crazy, you know, because that is what people do when they socialize, is to drink and drink and drink. And I was sitting at a table where a guy was, his hands were shaking as he was pouring the beer into the cup, you know? And I felt sorry for him, you know? But his choices bring him to that particular place. You know, our choices, and if we just kind of dismiss and say, well, it's okay, don't make too much of a deal about the way I think about things. No, you and I need to be aware and make a big deal about the kind of mind attitudes we have about life, about ourselves, about our spouse, about the kids, about this, about that, about, you know, it doesn't matter. We have a responsibility. If we're going to be, I'm going to stand up. If we are going to be light in a dark place, and how many times have I been talking about this over the last number of weeks? If God is looking for a people to be, he's coming for a bride that's going to be spotless and blameless. Whoa. That doesn't just happen. That's going to require us saying, you know what? I want to be in that number. And God isn't going to bring people in that don't want to be in that number. Your choice. My choice. And as much as I want to be there, me just saying I want to be there, Lord, isn't going to do it when it comes to the day-to-day choices I have to make if I'm not making them the right way. And most people don't want to hear that. Most people in the church don't want to hear that.
Maybe you don't want to hear that. Maybe I don't want to hear that, really. You know? But,
my goodness,
the Lord is worth us saying to hell with all of that. I want to live a life that's pleasing to God in every way that it can be. Not here's a little bit of my life, Jesus. Now give me everything I want. I'm afraid, you know, I preach this. I'm afraid that's in me more than I want to admit. I'm going to break out of that. I hope you want to break out of that. And we will. See, the positive thing is we can. And hopefully we will. I don't want to always be talking about, well, I'm hoping that someday. Well, how about today? How about that there's some definite things that I make so that I'm not just talking about it. I'm going to really say, I'm going to live this way. I'm going to think this way. I'm not going to let the world and the events of this world or the negative things that are happening in the family or at work or anything else stick to me and make me a cynical...
Larkin.
What's that?
Hardened.
Negative.
Miserable.
What? Miserable kind of person. Because we laugh about this, but this is the direction that people are going in. We're sliding in a general direction one way or the other.
It's a daily battle. Yeah.
Yes. And this is why it's important that every day that we remain positive in our walk with God. Because we have hope in Him, we're trusting in Him, we're reading the Word, knowing what the promises are, and standing on that, knowing that He has overcome the world, and if He's living in me, I mean, do you believe that? Do you believe that He's living in me? And if He is, then we can overcome. Because of Him. Not because of ourselves, because of Him. Yeah. Right?
Right?
Somebody had a hand up. Go
ahead. What you're saying reminds me of Balaam. When he was hired to curse Israel.
Yes.
Part of one of his prophetic utterances was, may I die the death of the righteous. And yet, because he lived with the unrighteous, he was destroyed.
Yes.
Israel's enemies.
Yes. Exactly.
He was wishing, but he wasn't hoping.
Wishing, but not hoping. You guys, some people know that song. All right, now I'm gonna end this message in Philippians. So if you have a Bible, turn here, please. Philippians chapter 4. Most of you are gonna know what I'm gonna read. Starts in verse 8. Says this, finally, brethren. In other words, to sum it all up, getting to the conclusion here, if there's going to be something that you get, here's what it is. And this is what he says. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things. Because it's real easy to think on the other stuff. Isn't it? It's not that we're not aware that these bad things are happening, but we can't let our minds just be taken in a little tornado circle with all of those things all the time. We've got to stop that and take a stand against, push against it with our minds, like Kathy was saying. You know, we have to. How do you fight an idea?
With another idea.
With another idea.
You fight that thing that's trying to tear you down, make you feel depressed, make you want to lash out at that person that hurts your feelings, whatever it might be, and there you are with it. What do you do about that? Just allow that? I found where I just didn't feel like I had any strength to push back against some of those thoughts. You know? Well, what do you do? Well, you start standing and thinking and praying in the other direction. Because those thoughts are coming at you like this, and you know, you're going, no, hold it a minute. No, this is what the Lord says to me. The Lord tells me that I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I can get up above this kind of crap. I don't have to be subject to the flow of things that are going on in this world. I know where I'm going to be. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm a child of the King. It makes a big difference, doesn't it? And then verse 9 says, so those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. So it does require something from us, isn't it? And then it says, and the God of peace will be with you. Boy, if there's anything that's needed in this life, it's peace.
Not the world's peace.
Not the world, not as the world gives.
I'm putting the chair back now.
Jen.
So a couple of things came to mind throughout the service. First, after Kathy spoke, you know, the Lord has reminded me in prayer so many times we go to Him, especially when we're in that negative place, just asking Him to fix it. Mm-hmm. Focusing on the negative, saying, God, just fix it. Can you take care of this? And one thing He's shown me is that instead of, you know, or I'd look up in the Bible about anger or, you know, whatever I was struggling with, and like you said, you have to focus on the positive of it. You have to search for
where He wants to take you.
Right. Yeah. Where He wants to take you. Focus on the hope, the fruit, where you want, what His will is, because it's in there.
Yes.
And where you want to be versus on where you are and just take it away or make it go away.
Yeah.
Search for that solution.
Yes.
He gives it to you. The other thing is, He's reminding me how much our walk affects others around us. I don't know how many times He's used Evan in the past week where I've looked at my child who has just corrected me, and rightly so, but how offended I got. And I looked at him and I said, who is raising you right? Like, who is making the choice to raise you in a way that you feel like you can correct me? But needless to say, you know, so yes, after I get over my offenses, you know, I realize, okay, thank you, Lord. I know I'm in the wrong more often than not, but what a reminder of how much our walk affects those around us.
And the positive side of that is that He recognized, you know, that there's that sensitivity to what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that a great thing? Yeah.
And to take this one step further, you know, as we're driving to church today, there's still a tremendous amount of trees that are still down.
Yeah.
And I said to my husband, and in a little, I said, geez, shouldn't some of these trees have been attended to by now? Are they distracted? Are the roads taken care of yet? Like, how come these trees? There's one in particular on the road that, you know, there's a branch that's broken and it's aiming right for the road.
Oh.
And if they don't attend to it, it could harm others.
Yeah.
How many times do we have broken things in ourselves that when we are corrected or God's trying to work on that in us and trying to give us the tools we need to fix those broken things, do we just get distracted by the world, or we get lazy, or we get, you know, for whatever reason, there's a million reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, the branch is dangling there, waiting. It could affect others.
Yes.
By the choices we make. So, I think that's one of the major things that he's just impressing upon me is just, you know, sometimes we don't dig deeper because we think it just affects us, you know, and I'm not ready to deal with that yet. But in the grand scheme of things, it really does affect those around us too. And if that's not a motivator enough for you, you know, we're called to bring glory to the Lord. So when I struggle in my offenses, I say, okay, God, how am I going to bring glory to you? Because this has been such a gift that you've given me that I don't want to waste it. So when we focus on bringing glory to the Lord, I think, you know, it'll help us
stay in the positive. Where's Lord? Reggie?
Yep. All right. So,